He's ready to go, Eric. Are you ready for the judge this morning?
Oh, absolutely. Bring it on. I loved listening to the judge.
All right. Angelo Morinello, State Assemblyman. He is in Albany this morning and joins us on Niagara's Choice Voice Line. Angelo, what's shaking?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's up in the air, John and Eric. We did get an early morning text this morning that we'll have a virtual briefing, but we don't know whether it's another extender or whether maybe there's some movement on the budget. But let me tell you, let me go through this and let your readers, your listeners, understand what is really occurring. We have had five budget extenders, the latest through tomorrow, 4/18/24. The rumors that have come out and the premature press conference of the governor 2 days ago, which came as a shock to the majority, who have a supermajority, was that a budget deal, a conceptual deal was there. Nobody knows what a conceptual deal is, but the majority said it wasn't there. But budget extenders, okay, the projected budget is $235 billion, okay, but no details. That has been an increase of $60 billion from my first year in the assembly. That is unconscionable. But what we have to remember is this, okay? The fiscal year 24 estimated debt is $55.9 billion, and it's projected to balloon to $64.4 billion in fiscal year 25. Now, what is this debt? This is state debt, and most of it is borrowing to fulfill their budget items that really and truly majority of it can either be economized or it doesn't go for our taxpayers. But let's not forget the public authority debt of $328 billion. Ultimately, the state is liable for about $383 billion. Now, what is authority debt? We have various authorities, the Thruway Authority, the Dormitory Authority, the Power Authority. They can incur debt in of their own, that is not on the ledger of the state debt, but it's still a debt of the state. So it's a lot of smoke and mirrors when you get to it. Now, why are extenders necessary? They're necessary to pay state employees, daily obligations, debt service, general obligation bonds, revenue bonds, lease purchase agreements, and contractual obligations. Now, one of these extenders was to pay the National Guard, and we know that they are protecting the subways. And another one was to pay employees. If we don't pass a budget by tomorrow, we have to do an additional extender so employees can get paid. And it's unfair to the hardworking state employees that we would let them go without a paycheck, okay, because of the inability to come together on practical, responsible spending. I'd also like to add that until there's a budget between April 1st and a final budget, we legislators elected to and voted on and passed some years ago that we do not get paid during this open period. Yes, the money is escrowed, but we do not receive the paychecks every other week that we would normally receive, which I think is fine, okay? If we can't get a budget together, okay, and the majority, which has a supermajority, can't get their act together with the governor, then we shouldn't get paid, okay? So that's fine, but that's for the benefit of the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
On that topic, do you have any questions?
Well, no, actually, you answered the one question because we haven't really talked about that yet, but the fact that, you know, the folks are not getting paid until the budget is in place, that was a huge
right.
concern because it kind of doesn't make sense. You know, what's the incentive to pass a budget then, I guess would be my thought.
Correct. Well, well, the incentive is, so we can, you know, get back to business.
Right.
The budget has taken all of the oxygen out of the room since day one of this year because of the uncertainties. We will have a budget shortfall, according to the comptroller. And remember, last year, everyone was taking victory laps, okay? But I think there was like $50 billion of federal money injected into the budget, which we don't have, and we knew that wasn't coming. So, but let me tell you what one of the biggest issues with not passing the budget, okay? The extenders take care of certain things. Next month, May, school districts have to vote on their budgets. They have no idea what's happening. The governor unilaterally took out Hold Harmless. Hold Harmless was where no school district would receive less than the previous year. So instead of coming together and revamping the foundation formula in daylight, unilaterally they decided to make changes which negatively impact our students, our teachers, and our hard-working school employees. Now, we all agree that the foundation formula needs to be looked at because it's based on statistics that are old. They're all almost 18 years old. But to shortchange these school districts at this critical time when we have more mental illness coming into the schools, which I believe it was government caused. When they went and closed them through the pandemic, they made kids stay at home. They overreacted. But who's the victim? Our children. So now, in the schools, they won't have the money to continue these treatments for these children. They won't have the money. There are school districts, not in my district, thankfully, that are talking about laying off 40 and 50 teachers. There's districts downstate in Long Island that lost 8 to 10 million in their budgets. Most of ours are pretty close to what they were getting. Yes, they're going to be impacted somewhat, but we can survive pretty well. It's our hope that at least in the final budget, the Hold Harmless is reinstated so the schools can at least know they will get what they got last year. Number one. Number two, they need to have predictability so they can plan forward. Because you got to remember, in a school year, it's not looking back, but they have to anticipate the expenses of the following year, the increase in the utilities, the increase for workers, the contractual increases, normal increases. And when you take the economy and inflation, okay, where's this money going to come from? Again, from the taxpayers. But I'm going to just count. In this budget, there's $2.4 billion that could be going to the schools and to our children and to our most disadvantaged that is going to supplant the so-called migrant crisis. Everybody now wants to come to New York State because we're a sanctuary state, okay? Just eliminate that. But our hard-working taxpayers are being harmed and harmed tremendously.
All right, so, Angelo, unfortunately, this segment, we have to break here. Hang with us because right after the 8:30 news, we'll be continuing our conversation. Angelo Morinello joins us from Albany this morning on Niagara's Choice Voice Line.
The listeners who may have just joined us, okay, we did cover all the budget updates and some of the issues. Let's go to squatters, which seems to be something that is becoming more of an issue to landowners, the landlords, into homeowners. Now, what is claimed is after 30 days, a squatter becomes a tenant, okay? And that you have to go through the normal process for eviction. I don't agree. As a retired judge and as an attorney, okay, I feel there is a potential to charge burglary or at least trespass. Remember, burglary is entering or remaining unlawfully with intent to commit a crime. And a crime could be larceny. They're depriving the rightful owner of occupancy or rent. Now, let's think about this. A couple of years ago when they decided that they wanted to do criminal justice reform, if your home, someone breaks into your home, it's a high level of a felony. If you're not home, they've reduced it. What difference does it make if you're home? It is something that you, it is where you go, where your things are. But there's been such a weaponizing against punishment, okay? But let's go back to what I started with this. So I feel that there is a room for these squatters to be charged and arrested. Now, our conference has presented legislation that would define a squatter as a trespasser at the least. Can't get any traction on it, okay? So we have an issue here, which goes back to public safety. And truthfully, okay, government should have three main functions. One is public protection, the economy, and the infrastructure. Governor's proposed budget reduces infrastructure money, roads, highways, okay, to almost $100 million. That money is going to the New York City extra expenses because of their claim of a sanctuary city, taking it from the taxpayers. So I think that we've got a right to our privacy. We have a right to our homes. We have a right to our investments. And squatters should be dealt with severely because they are stealing. They're stealing the roof over your head. Now, the next issue is buried in the governor's One House budget, and it looks like this is going to come through. It's called the Rapid Act. Now, what is the Rapid Act? It's the Renewable Action Through Project Interconnection and Deployment. Who knows what that means? But I'll tell you what it does mean, okay? What it means is it's another attempt to remove all local control. What is local control? Constitution grants the municipalities, the towns, the villages, the right to have local control, pass laws over controlling their own boundaries. This will take that away. It will give government control over all property rights. And what it's going to lead to, it allows for private property and conserved lands to be forcibly taken by eminent domain for energy facilities. It is beyond egregious, and I have voted against all prior bills, and I will continue to fight aggressively as my constituent, my counterparts, Assemblyman Norris and Senator Ort. We believe in property rights. We do not believe in government control of private property. Now, this leads to the other issue that's in the budget, good cause eviction. What is that? It's basically government control of private property. Apartment owners, building owners, limits on what they can recover on improvements, limits on what they can charge rent. Okay? So consequently, again, the government is taking over. Do the listeners see a pattern here of government control of all private property? Where are we headed? I want you to not listen to the acronym like Rapid Act, but actually think about what it's going to do to you as an individual. So let's go to public safety, retail theft, smash and grab, okay, organized gangs. Number one, we have proposed, and a majority member has proposed, an increase in the charge and the penalty for shoplifting. You have multiple. His own conference won't even look at it. You know what they've said? Punishment does not deter crime. Okay? We have to train them. Well, there's no responsibility for consequences of your actions. Why are criminals, why are those that affect the lives of law-abiding citizens, their rights have taken precedent over law-abiding citizens, John. And the government, New York State, is pretty much moving away from protecting its own citizens, taking care of the infrastructures. And what they're doing is they're listening to mob theories. We get these mobs come into Albany screaming and yelling and pounding. They just want more free. It's free, free, free. Everything is going to be free. Well, somebody's got to eventually pay for it. And what these individuals don't realize is sooner or later you run out of other people's money, John. And these are just some of the main issues that we have. I want to throw two other things in real quick. I don't know how much more time we have. When you have checkoff on your New York State tax, you can check off whether a portion will go to various agencies. Well, there's a checkoff for veterans. Right now, there's $3 million being withheld from New York veterans. That is, taxpayer indicated this is where they want it to go. You know what I'm thinking, John? Because I also know that their delay in doling out their grants, they use subterfuge. I think we have not only a revenue problem, but a cash flow problem. And so what do? They delay. They manipulate. They move the money from one account to the other. I'm asking the taxpayers, I'm asking the citizens to just open your eyes and don't listen to the rhetoric, but actually understand what is going on. You know, I get criticisms. Oh, you're just carrying the water for your party. You're doing this. No, John. Okay? I carry the facts. I present them. If you want to believe them, that's fine. If you don't or you don't trust them, go research them. But do not ignore the fact that there may be two sides. There may be more. So let's go back to the Rapid Act. Oh, it sounds wonderful, something quick. But it really is truly such a move towards one type of fuel. And all industries are saying it's impossible to do what they want to do, but they're listening to the radicals. I'm not saying that we don't have to pull in our carbon footprint. That's not what I'm saying. But there's got to be analysis. They got to be able to tell us what the cost is. You know, the Rapid Act, it's really just another step towards you having to replace all of your appliances in your home, your water heater, your furnaces, your stoves, if you have a gas stove. The estimate now is $50,000 a household. Mm. Some people can't afford to eat. Where are they going to get this money? And we know that in this climate that there is difficulty with batteries. Now, let's take school buses. Do you realize that you cannot put out a fire from one of these batteries? Can you imagine if there's an accident with a school bus, okay, and it catches on fire? Okay? Who's going to be responsible? They're going to point fingers, okay? But bottom line, John, we have to start analyzing, get away from the rhetoric. And it's really funny because we just passed tax day. Okay? Now, New York State is the highest in taxes in the country. We are when I say highest, what I mean is we're not the best, we're the worst. When it comes to economic development, we're like 48th out of 50. So New York State, no matter what they try and tell you about the greatness, okay, we are the highest taxed, the highest burdened state in the nation, and it's just getting more and more. They keep piling on more debt, all right, and coming up with schemes. Let's take the most vulnerable, our disabled, those that have all of the difficulties. Right now we have home care that under Medicaid, they can choose someone to take care of them and they can remain in their homes. They don't go into nursing homes or hospitals. It's burdensome. There's too many agencies. So what does the governor want to do? She wants to reduce it to one out-of-state agency to monitor the program for the entire state, not New York State businesses, not regionalism. And somebody in New York City, what do they know about Western New York and the needs? Well, so what they're doing is taking from our most vulnerable again, John. Your cough indicates we're near the end, right?
Well, yes, I was just clearing my throat a little bit there, Angelo. And believe me, we respect you a great deal, and I wish we had more time today. But we'll get you back on just as soon as we can, all right?
All right. Hey, thank you very much. I do appreciate the opportunity to interact and connect with the listeners to just give them a perspective, John. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Judge Angelo Morinello, New York State Assemblyman for District 145. Have a good rest of the day in Albany, and we'll talk soon, Angelo.
All right. Thank you.
All right.